Is this working? Yeah, okay. Okay, hey Uncle Jed, the topic is about civil rights. Do you remember the civil rights movement?
I vaguely remember the civil rights movement.
What do you remember about the, like,
I remember it was like a defining moment in the United States, in which working class people stood up against the bosses and fought for against racial discrimination.
Do you participate in it?
I participated in the later years. In the earlier years, I was too young to participate.
How old were you, Uncle Jed?
In 1964, I was 10 years old. By the time the urban rioting started in 67 and 68, I was 14 years old. Actually, no, that's not true. Yes.
Okay.
And we began to participate in the civil rights movement. We were marching against the war with Dr. Martin Luther King, and we were involved in the Poor People's Marches in Washington, D.C. And that's when Dr. Martin Luther King started to pull the anti-war movement and the labor movement and the civil rights movement together, and that's why the government killed him. He was in marches. He led marches that I participated in. But for instance, when he was actually gunned down, he was supporting a garbage man strike in the South. He was standing up for a group of workers that wanted to organize a union.
Oh my God. He was gunned down for standing for garbage people?
Sanitation workers had gone on strike to get a union recognition.
I didn't know that.
And then he was gunned down.
Wow.
But that's what scared the bosses the most. The bosses are okay if people drink out of the same water fountain. But the bosses are not okay if you interfere with their imperialistic wars or demand your rights on the job. And when he started, he pulled all those movements together. He spoke out against the Vietnam War. He started to stand up for the rights of labor. And at that point, he became too troublesome for the bosses, and it was necessary for the bosses to kill him.
Even though all his movements were peaceful.
Yes, he was a peaceful, nonviolent man. A great man.
Did it affect you or your family life while this was happening?
Well, it all affected us. Like, I grew up outside Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. In 1967, during the urban rioting, I was 14 years old. And for instance, a lot of people don't understand this, but in Newark, New Jersey, 167 people were killed by the National Guard when they were brought in to quell the rioting and the demonstrations. One National Guardsman was killed. Most of the 167 people that were killed were unarmed. And that happened all across the United States. All the major cities were in flames. People were protesting and marching, and the National Guard was called in and was crushing these revolts everywhere.
Did you actually get to see the violence firsthand?
Oh, yes, I did.
Wait, when you were 14?
When I was 14 years old. The high school I went to, my junior year in high school, was occupied by the National Guard, and we had virtually no after-school activities. And my senior year in high school was occupied by the state police, and we had no after-school activities.
And your high school was in Newark, New Jersey?
It was outside of Newark, New Jersey. It was between Plainfield and Newark, in a town called Piscataway. And Plainfield and Newark were major centers of the urban unrest. In fact, the first time I saw a tank was when I was rolling down the main street of Plainfield. You know, occupying the city and terrifying the inhabitants and suppressing civil rights and civil liberties.
Don't you think it's kind of crazy that that was only a few decades ago? Because you drive by there now and it's completely...
The history has been completely stamped
completely
out and robbed from us. Well, the bosses and the corporations don't want you to know that there was a period in this time in which working people were standing up all over the United States and challenging the status quo. And so, like, you know, some of the cultural revolution has been successful. Rock and roll, you can now hear it in the supermarket. But in terms of, like, the class relations that were being challenged, that was crushed out.
But But like, how? What about your family? Did they participate then, or your mom?
Well, my mother and father were anti-racist and were very supportive of the civil rights movement.
Oh.
Yeah, their position on Vietnam wasn't too good. But those issues affected everybody and changed everybody. It was the turbulence and the upheaval in this country is hard to describe unless you were in it and part of it, because the bosses won and they stamped out that history, because in the last 30 years they've been able to transfer the greatest amount of wealth from those that work for a living to those who rule for a living. And as a result of their ability to stamp out those movements in the late 60s and early 70s, and even rewrite the history so you didn't even know it happened, that they were able to institute programs and policies with the election of Ronald Reagan that completely began to decimate the working class in this country and globally.
I feel like that's a great example of what Calvin's about to say next.
Okay, good. What is that, Calvin? Sorry.
That big stamping out that I'm saying is a great example of what Calvin's about to say next.
So at school, we talk about how African Americans were affected, like how they didn't have like equal rights and stuff. But
it's like all that they focus on.
Yeah.
The bosses would like you to believe that the civil rights movement was about being able to drink out of the same water fountain. And the civil rights movement was much broader than that. I would like you to believe that the civil rights movement was about being able to drink out of the same water fountain. And the civil rights movement was much broader than that.
That's good, because that was actually Calvin's next question. Right, Calvin?
Yeah. Did it affect more than that?
Yes, it did. Martin Luther King considered the United States to be the most violent country on the face of the earth, and actively worked to change those policies. At that time, it was in Vietnam. And so, from his perspective, you could not have equality by drinking out of the same water fountain if you're bombing Asian people in Southeast Asia simultaneously. And he saw the two movements as linked. And you know, as a result, that's what he did. Yeah, so like obviously the movement was much broader in terms of like just being able to drink out of the same, which is important. People should have the right to drink out of the same water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I feel like they kind of shortened what it really stood for and like narrowed down like everything that was affected and everything that was being addressed to kind of keep it in this neat little box.
The broader movement was more interested with the distribution of wealth. And like all the issues with respect to challenging class relations and challenging how the wealth is divided have been like glossed over and ignored and stamped out by the bosses. And you know, they're big champions of being able to like piss in the same toilet, but when it comes to like dividing up their money properly, they're vigorously opposed to that.
Yeah, because the whole focus of the whole movement is race and discrimination, which is what Calvin's focusing on right now.
Right. So, okay.
You can't have equality in between the different races, and not also have economic equality.
So, at school, I also talked about how people are migrating out of like different areas of the countries. Like a lot of people are migrating out of the south into like north and stuff. Was it like only like blacks who were like migrating out? So.
No. The migrations out of the south occurred in the, I want to say the 1960s, and that was because the good paying unionized jobs were in the north, and they're moving into Detroit and the areas in which the cars were being manufactured, and poor southern whites and blacks were moving out of the south in the same numbers, because the economic policies of the bosses in the South made it impossible for them to work and support a family. And so they were forced to leave. And eventually, the bosses established a non-union climate And so global trade policies forced the closing of the factories in the north, and you had a reverse migration occur, but to much poorer jobs in the south, because the global trade policies that the bosses championed were able to destroy the good-paying jobs in the north.
Okay, when I learned about migration in school, it was more like everyone was slaves, then he worked on plantains, and so once that like opened up, like, and the South was too conservative to allow everyone to have those free rights or something, so that's why everyone went north, and then it just like made it seem really.
People migrate because people like their homes, and people migrate because the work at home is not enough to support themselves. And so they go someplace else in hopes of getting a better job so they can live a better life with them and their family.
So there's this huge working class struggle that...
There is. It's global, actually. But in the terms of the United States, it's from the south to the north, and now it's back to the south right now.
No, but you didn't say, like...
Oh. Did you notice more foreigners in your area that you were at?
I mean, there has been an influx of immigrants into this area, in the South Philly area, in the last 10 years. That's largely because of NAFTA and the global trade policies sponsored by the bosses and the government of the United States. For instance, in Mexico, for like 100 years, the Mexican government subsidized corn prices. And most Mexicans made a living by growing corn on their small family farms. And the price was subsidized by the government so they could make a good living, work hard, and live their little Mexican lives in their villages and live happily ever after. But when NAFTA was negotiated, the big corn factory farms in the United States started to flood the Mexican market with new corn that wasn't subsidized by the government, that drove the prices down to the point where Mexican farmers could not support themselves on the corn prices they were able to get. And as a result, they had to come to the United States and find other work. So huge villages and huge communities had to leave Mexico and come here when for 100 years, they had nice lives in their homes. Nobody comes here because they want to live in South Philadelphia. they come here because they desperately need work, and whatever happened at home made living there impossible. And in this case, because of the influx of Mexicans in this area, it was a direct result of the NAFTA policies of the government of the United States.
Wow. We'll have to look that up later about NAFTA.
Absolutely true.
Okay, so go on.
At school, we have a really strong emphasis on discrimination and issues of racism. During this time period, what issues do you feel like do you feel deserve equal or more emphasis?
I think it's all about economics as usual, and that we have a Philadelphia that's 50% minority, and I think that if we spent the same amount of money per capita on Philadelphia school kids as we spend on suburban school kids that are all white, that the education opportunities of Philadelphia school kids would be vastly improved, and I think we're kidding ourselves if we think that race relations in Philadelphia have been resolved.
Whoa, so that's a pretty loaded statement, because that means what you're saying is that civil rights movement, like issues in there, is still happening today. It's just that no one's responding versus back then someone was responding.
I think the easy issues that everybody can agree on is that we can drink out of the same water fountains, that we can piss in the same toilet. I think the broader class issues that go directly to racism are the redistribution of wealth and how people are paid and equality of the paycheck. And I don't think those issues have even begun to be addressed in this country. In fact, they've gotten worse.
No, I just feel kind of pressured, you know, because you lived in that movement, and we're kind of living in issues, but we're not really doing anything.
You're not even aware of the questions.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
That's how effective the bosses have been.
Well, maybe that's why I came over this morning, was to learn about it through Kevin.
Looking back on it today, how do you feel about its version? Looking back today, how do you feel about it versus the way you felt about them?
I mean, I've been a supportive of the struggle for equality all my life and still support it. And I think there were important gains made in the civil rights movement, but the real issues that yet to be tackled still need to be addressed. For instance, in the 70s, when I went to college, I was able to get student loans and graduate and pay a tuition that was affordable and not be completely hung up on like a debt that I could never pay back in terms of student loans. And as a result, you know, I was able to get an education and contribute, I think, to the country in a positive way. Students today graduate from college hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt with no real hope of paying back those student loans, and are basically economic slaves. And many of those students are, most of those students are probably minorities. And like it's a direct issue that of economic equality that needs to be addressed.
What was something that you most that was most memorable or important that happened to make you? Wow.
Well, in the early 70s, I was organizing lettuce and grape strikes in Southern California, and I was living with Mexican strikers. And I clearly remember the white sheriff's deputies and the Hells Angels bike gangs that were all white that they hired to break up our strikes. And they would come in, and we would like literally have open class warfare in the grape fields.
What do you mean?
Most of us ending up in jail, beaten and fire-hosed, you know?
Serious?
Yeah, I was arrested a couple dozen times.
An open fair worker, meaning there's guns? Like, guns were taken out?
I saw three men shot and killed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Were you guys doing? Like, were you guys rioting?
We were picketing for our rights to establish a union in the grape fields.
So all you had were picket signs?
Picket signs.
But they had guns?
Yeah.
Did you guys have guns?
No.
But you guys got fired on?
Yeah.
Did you guys damage or vandalize property before they opened fire?
No. It was a peaceful picket.
And then they came at you with Harvey motorcycles and...
That was one of the things
I
remember.
Videos of it?
It's the Harvest of Shame. That's one of the things I remember. I was there.
How old were you?
I was 19.
19. Okay.
Okay, are we done?
No, we have to. Okay. What are some things that you wish people of my generation knew and really understood about that time period that isn't being focused or talked about?
That it was a tremendous time of hope and struggle and solidarity. And that if you could regain that sense of class purpose, you could also reclaim your place in history rather than just being marginalized by the bosses and the corporations and the government like you are today.
What if we're scared?
We don't even know.
Right? Yeah, I don't even know. Whoa.
Yeah, you have no idea. I tried to impart some of this, but it's... When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so far, they don't seem to be ready.
Well, maybe Calvin, you can bring Jet to school sometime.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, what should we do with that, with that knowledge? What? Like that's
what that he's giving us today, if that's what that question is.
Yeah. Okay, are we done?
No, Calvin's just asking that question very poorly. It's supposed to be, what should we do with the knowledge that we've gotten today from you?
You should resolve to understand history as it really occurred during this period, and not as the corporations have rewritten it for us. You have to resolve to understand the ideology that we need to, like, correctly take on the corporations, and resolve to participate and continue in this struggle.